Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to have as my special guest today William Morgan, who is one of the members of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence and has been for some time. Now, that's all that we can tell you about his identity. You will hear from him his own story, what he's been doing, how he's been doing it, what kind of information he has collected for our organization, for the citizens of this country and of the world. And we're going to talk about, well, I guess you just have to call it undercover operations. This man has been undercover for the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence. And I remember several episodes of the show before, sometime during the series that we call the Mystery Schools, which we've done, I believe, 19 hours of broadcasting covering that subject. I told you that we had infiltrated the Lodge, the Mystery Schools, Mystery Babylon. In fact, we have not only infiltrated it once, but many times in this country and in lodges around the world. So the information that we're giving you in the Mystery Schools is not conjecture. It does not come from a bunch of people sitting around making up information. It comes from the books printed by the Mystery Schools themselves. It comes from our members who are actually in the Lodge, and we check, double-check everything that they bring to us. Please welcome to the Hour of the Time, William Morgan.
Thank you, Bill. You can call me Will, and I really appreciate that gracious and honorable introduction.
Well, we're certainly appreciative of everything that you've done. Tell us, Will, how long have you been associated with the Mystery Schools?
For over 2 years now. I became a Mason in June of 1991.
And what happened? I mean, how did you ever even know about Freemasonry?
At first, before I was exposed to your information, I was under the impression, as most people are, that they were a philanthropic organization dealing mostly with charity or possibly even in some way associated with unions. And as most CAGI members have come to know, that is entirely not the case.
Did you have friends who were Freemasons?
Yes, I worked with somebody who was a Freemason, and I've come to find out that that is usually the most common way that a person is exposed to the craft as they call it.
So they call it the craft amongst themselves. This is not something that the public is normally aware of. What does the craft mean? What does that term mean?
Well, they consider themselves craftsmen because they're building something. And there have been many organizations throughout history with the incredible similarities to the present modern cult of Freemasonry that have called themselves builders, common themes. They've associated with themselves always with the erection of a structure or the building of something that people just do not understand. We've come to understand that what they are erecting is the New World Order, and they've been working on it for thousands and thousands of years.
That's correct. Now, did your friend or friends try to proselytize you or talk you into joining the Lodge?
No, not at all. I must admit, I did go to them, and I was not entirely aware of the nature of the organization or of what was in store for me when I became a member, or a brother, as they call it.
Now, if you had not joined CAGI, would you still be sort of in the dark about the true meaning of Freemasonry? Or do the members really learn the truth about the organization during their period of time there?
Had I not joined CAGI, I would be as empty-headed and as trusting a sheeple as most of the Freemasons in America and across the world are today. They are not taught what the craft is about. They do not question authority at all. They, as a rule, and from my personal experience and observation, they obey the rules without question and to the letter.
Now, a lot of people out there are going to wonder, and I know that Freemasons are going to bring this up, that if you didn't learn what you now believe that you know about the Mystery Schools in the Lodge, how do you know that what you've learned while you become a CAGI member, how do you know that that is true?
Well, because I can verify for myself. I can get up and check the facts and look again to verify what is going on about the Mystery Schools. But for what the Masons claim to be, they have absolutely no proof or evidence or even works of their own hand to prove that they are actually involved in charity work.
Now, when you began to study, you were studying actually from two sources. You were studying the mystery religion in the lodge, actually, and you were studying what you were learning from the Citizens Agency from Joint Intelligence and trying to rectify the two or bring the two together and make it fit. When did you finally decide that that what you were learning in the lodge was really a deception?
The absolute clincher for me, what absolutely decided for me beyond a shadow of a doubt, and yes, I had my suspicions since I had very first become a member. You don't take a blood oath kneeling before an altar, swearing yourself to secrecy for all time without without the group you're becoming a member of being suspect.
But you did take these blood oaths.
Yes, sir. I took all of them, and there were many.
And so by the time you reach the degree level that you are at now, you've taken approximately how many oaths?
I don't even recollect. I know that there were over 24 oaths before you can even become a master mason in a Blue Lodge of Freemasonry, which is a bit like primary school for Freemasons. The Blue Lodge is where they are brought in as new members from off the street, and most men who are involved in Masonry for their lifetimes consider the Blue Lodge to be the heart and soul of Masonry, because that is where it all begins and that is where it all grows from.
But isn't it true that many Masons never advance beyond the third degree and remain in the Blue Lodge forever?
That is absolutely true. Whether or not it's they do not choose to go forth, or whether they're totally unaware that there's anywhere to go, it's up to personally the Mason that's involved, but many of them stay right where they're at and seem to be content with what they have.
So these Master Masons who claim that they know everything about Freemasonry and that they've been a Master Mason for 20 years, do they really know anything?
They know absolutely nothing. They have been completely deceived from the very first day they entered the lodge. They have been lied to regularly about the nature of the craft, the work of the craft, and the charity of the craft. My own lodge that I'm a member of considers its charity work for the entire last year to be the donation of $100, which is a little more than the dues yearly for three members. They gave $100 to a needy family, and through these very, very shallow and superficial acts, they consider themselves to be one of the greatest charity and brotherhood organizations ever to walk the face of the earth.
A recent thorough investigation of the Shriners, who have literally made their reputation upon the fact that they contribute tremendous amounts of money to charity, but the investigation disclosed that of all the money they take in, less than 3% actually goes to any charity. Were you aware of that?
No, actually I was not. I'm not a member of the Shrine, but I have been exposed to some of their numbers. I was hoping that it would at least be a little bit higher than that, because that says bad things about the Masons who are members of the Shrine. And as most people know, the Shrine is probably one of the largest quote-unquote charity organizations that there is.
And one of the richest. But most of the money seems to go back into the lodge or to the members or to the retirement funds or to the payment of the lodge officers. And this is something else people don't realize, that the lodge officers are paid and they have a retirement fund.
Now, this doesn't apply directly to all officers of the lodge. I myself am an officer of the lodge that I was indoctrinated into, duly elected member. They operate in that kind of manner with elected officials that serve one-year terms. But there is an exception to this rule, and that is the secretary and the treasurer. And the secretary keeps the books, and the treasurer keeps the money. And that points a very big finger as to where the true power in every lodge lies. Because these two gentlemen who held these offices usually hold them for years and years and years.
And they're not elected, and they're not accountable. Is that correct?
They're totally unaccountable. The treasurer will give a one budget report at a certain time during the year, and I listened to this report not 2 months ago, and if an accountant in the business world attempted to give such a superfluous report to his boss, he would be fired on the spot.
Now, just so our listening audience realizes that you're not just some yahoo who walked in off the street and went through the first degree and are now on a radio program trying to tell them you know something about Freemasonry, what is the level of your status or your degree or how high have you progressed through the initiatory levels?
It's not exactly something that any thinking individual would like to brag about, but I like a rocket up the ranks of Freemasonry. Much like in America, today, the Masons like to keep their members busy, busy, busy. They don't want to give them time to think about what they're doing, and they don't want to give them time to think about where they're going. They do this by ritual. All of Masonry is tied up in ritual, and you must memorize this ritual, and it is very, very extensive. Each office has its own whole slew of ritual to remember. But I worked hard. I've got a good memory. I rose through the ranks, and I'm now a 32nd degree Mason of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, Southern Jurisdiction, United States of America.
And this is the same branch of Freemasonry that Albert Pike belonged to, that created the Ku Klux Klan, the B'nai B'rith, and the branch off the B'nai B'rith called the ADL, or Anti-Defamation League. Is that correct?
Absolutely true. Albert Pike is considered to be a demigod among Freemasons, and actually a source of light all of his own. He took the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, which did exist for some time before him, he took it after the Civil War and turned it into what it is today. He incorporated much of the pagan symbology into the degrees that are still used and practiced today. His name is revered. I've seen a bigger-than-life-size bust of complete bronze of Albert Pike that was created for $25,000. Some of that money was mine, by the way. They treat him next to godhood in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry.
Were you aware that Albert Pike was in constant communication and in concert with Giuseppe Mazzini in creating, but Albert Pike at one time was the sovereign grand commander of all Freemasonry in the world, and operated in concert with Giuseppe Mazzini in control of what we now know is the world body known as the Illuminati?
The name Mazzini is familiar to me, and I have come across its connection to the Illuminati in my research, but no, I was not personally aware, and this comes as no surprise, because with the exception of my own personal research, most of my information comes from the archives of the lodges I have participated and visited, or from Freemasons themselves, and all information is questionable at best. Never once, with the exception of one word, have I heard any reference to the Illuminati, and yet my own research points exactly in their direction for the true source of the Masons' power and the reason for their concealment. But no, I did not know about Mazzini.
Do the members of the lodge consider themselves to be Illumined?
All of them do. And without even knowing the definition of the term, the true definition of
I remember a friend of mine who was a young man who was not a member of the lodge, but his father was. And he had a friend who belonged to another family who was not a member of the lodge, but owned a small business in town. And his small business was being destroyed by the members of the lodge simply because he was not a Freemason. And the business was going to members or our lodge brothers, and he asked his father why his friend's family was literally being destroyed by his father and others who professed to be members of a fraternal organization existing for the benefit of the community. And his father told him, and I'll never forget this because it literally crushed my friend, his father told him this, quote, "If you are not one of us, you are nothing," unquote. Is this generally true? Is this the way Freemasons generally think about people who do not belong to their organization?
I have personally seen Masonry interfere with family ties before. And yes, this is just how they look at the world. They consider the world to be profane, unilluminated, and this just goes hand in hand with the general attitude that is conveyed by all Masons, that they are on their road to their own form of godhood, and this manifests itself in severe racism. For all the people out there that may not be too familiar with Masons or Masonry, and this especially goes for members of minority groups who have often and usually continue to be excluded from Masonry, and especially for women, I'm here to tell you that you are not welcome in the lodge. You never will be, and you never have been welcome in the lodge. This especially goes for blacks, in spite of the Prince Hall Masonry, which is the biggest joke and the biggest scam and the biggest insult to any single race I've ever seen, and especially for women. They do not want you, and they consider you totally ineligible and unable to understand what they do.
You told me something the other night that I found just incredible. You said that you could go to any Prince Hall Lodge in any black community and the doors would be open to you and you'd be welcome, but if one of those members or brothers of the lodge or the Prince Hall Lodge came to your lodge and tried to come in and participate in the ceremonies or whatever you call them, what would happen?
It wouldn't happen. It just simply wouldn't happen. I, as a Caucasian Freemasonry, can visit any Prince Hall Lodge in the country and, as far as I know, in the world. I can also visit any lodge, period, across the world. I've been told through my initiation that I am welcome in any lodge, but this just does not apply to blacks, no matter even if the ritual that they go through, and I do not know this for certain, but I know it's similar, but even if the ritual were exact, even if the same form of quote-unquote illumination that they underwent was exact, they could not ever, and I sit in a lodge with Caucasian Freemasons. I've never seen a black Freemason sit in a lodge among Caucasians, and I don't think I will. Equal opportunity and affirmative action laws are just completely ignored and considered frivolous and a joke by all Freemasons.
So the New World Order that they're bringing into being is going to be racist.
Entirely. It has an Aryan background, and that is where it comes from.
And that's been borne out by our research. Why, then, would the black community form their own lodges and support the bringing about of a New World Order that is going to relegate them back into slavery? And I might add, along with the rest of us who don't belong to this religion, and it is a religion, why would they participate in something like that?
Well, as you've told me yourself, and most people will understand this, the world loves a mystery, and you can control the masses by dangling a secret like a carrot in front of their nose and promising them the answer to that secret if they just merely do what you say and work for you. This, together with man's own fallible, entirely fallible human nature and the selfishness of man and the ego of man, they want to be something. They want to be better than the people around them that they see, and since they have been told straight out that they can never advance to the ranks of Caucasian Freemasons, they have settled for just being better than their own people and excluding other blacks from joining their own lodge.
So one of the holes that Freemasonry has over people is that ordinary people, whether they be black, white, oriental, Hispanic, doesn't matter, they want to be part of the elect. Is that true?
Exactly. That they want to join the elite. They'd like to look down on their fellow man.
Okay. But and now, if nobody coerced you, nobody proselytized you, how did you get into the lodge?
I went to the door and I knocked on it.